The coronavirus is affecting people all over the world, and that includes Christians in the Middle East, especially in countries where persecution is the worst. Today, I'm talking with Vernon Brewer, founder and president of World Help. And although Vernon shares the real difficulties and violence these Christians are facing, he also shares some miraculous ways that God is moving. And as a result, many are coming to Christ. Stay tuned to hear more about this incredible move of God.
Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. Their students are innovators, leaders, and dreamers who carry Liberty's mission into hundreds of professions. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Charisma to the number 49596. Again, text Charisma to the number 49596.
Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. We're continuing our series on Christian persecution, and to do so, I'm talking today to Vernon Brewer. He's the founder and president of World Help, and for those of you who don't know, World Help is a Christian humanitarian organization. So, without further ado, Vernon, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Jenny. It's nice to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I'm excited to dive into our conversation, but I know before we get too serious, because this is a serious topic, can you just start us off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and what World Help does?
I'd be glad to. We've at World Help, we've always believed that true change can only happen when people's physical needs are met alongside their spiritual needs. We call it Help for Today and Hope for Tomorrow. And since 1991, we've impacted 84 million people in 71 countries. And we do that by meeting people's most urgent physical needs. We're feeding starving children, providing clean water, helping families in poverty. But at the same time, we're always looking for opportunities to tell people about eternal hope in Jesus Christ. That's the hope for tomorrow part of the equation. And one of the ways we're doing that, Jenny, is coming alongside persecuted believers around the world and providing them with the resources they need, both physically and for their faith, and to be able to boldly share their faith with others.
Well, that sounds amazing. And I love that you guys focus on both of those aspects because, you know, we see a lot of organizations nowadays focus on one of them, you know, just the spiritual needs or just the physical needs. So it's refreshing to see people like you, organizations like World Help, who are determined to meet both. And I love that you brought up persecution because, again, that's our topic for today. And specifically, we're going to be talking about persecution in the Middle East, which, again, I know is broad still in and of itself because that's a bunch of different countries. But Vernon, can you explain to us the current volatile situation in the Middle East and how it's affecting Christians?
Well, most Christians in America don't realize that Iran is the ninth most dangerous place for Christians in the world. And it's at the same time home of the world's fastest growing underground church. In 1979, at the time of the Iranian Revolution, there were estimated less than 500 Christians with a Muslim background in the entire country. And today it's estimated that there are 800,000 believers in Iran. Some people like myself believe that that number could be as high as a million. And the reason we don't know exactly for sure is because most of them are meeting in secret in underground churches. But when you stop and think, more people have come to Christ in Iran in the last 40 years than the previous 1,300 years combined. So there's a great spiritual hunger and mainly because people are becoming disillusioned with the Muslim regimes. And so we work with refugees who've been driven out of their homes in Syria and Iraq for their faith and have not been able to return.
It's really fascinating to me that in those places where there's a lot of oppression, like you were mentioning Iran, the church is growing, believers are growing. But I mean, sometimes in countries like the U.S., where we're free to exercise our faith, we're kind of almost seeing not quite the opposite, but almost the opposite, where, you know, the as some would say, the rise of the religious nuns, people who are kind of leaving the church and whatnot. But it's really fascinating to me that you share how much Christianity is growing in an oppressive place like Iran.
Yeah, and today the persecution for the Christians is a little more subtle than it was just a few years ago. I was in Mosul in Iraq a few years ago when they were blasting over loudspeakers to either convert to Islam or pay a fine or die, and helping Christians who were literally fleeing for their lives. And just a few years ago in Iraq, there were 1.4 million Christians. Today, there's only 200,000 because so many of them have had to flee the country and are living all over the world as refugees. But it's more subtle today. The rebels are taking away farmland from Christians, making it harder for them to provide a living, and making it difficult for them to share their faiths. But the persecution is still very real.
Absolutely. And now, regarding the coronavirus specifically, because obviously COVID-19 is changing life for people all across the globe, is the coronavirus affecting persecution in the Middle East?
Iran has the seventh highest death toll from the virus of all the nations. So it's remarkable how many people are dying in Iran because of the coronavirus. And our partners there on the ground tell us that the number of coronavirus cases is even much greater than the numbers that are being published, because you just can't trust the accuracy and the transparency of those test numbers and the reported deaths. But the Christian community has seen its share of deaths recently. One of our partners in the Middle East just lost his mother and was unable to even attend her funeral. Many of the house churches have had to stop meeting because of the spread of the virus. But on a positive note, it's caused Christians to have opportunities to share their faith. And in many locations, they're handing out free masks with scripture verses written on them. Radio broadcasts are being listened to in record numbers. And so there's opportunity for the Christians during this pandemic to share their faith like never before. We've been able to help increase the distribution of food and medicine and hygiene items. You know, in some of these places, because of the virus, the cost of goods just to survive has increased sometimes 300%. And when you factor in that many of these refugees that we're working with often don't even have job opportunities, this virus has hit them especially hard. And we have a clinic we sponsor on the Syrian border in Jordan that sees 200 Syrian refugees a day. We're impacting 132,000 refugees in a year, and they're starting to test and help for the coronavirus, and many of their patients are being treated for that. And when I was just recently there a few months ago, I asked them, I said, how many of these patients that you're seeing are Muslim? They said 100% of them are Muslim. They said, we don't discriminate who we see, and it's a free clinic, and we have doctors and nurses and a full pharmacy. And I asked them, I said, how many of those patients, 200 a day, 132,000 a year, I said, how many of them have become Christ followers in the last year? And they said 1,000. And I couldn't believe it. I thought they had misunderstood the question, so I asked it again. And they said 1,000. I said, what's your evangelistic strategy? And they said, we don't have an evangelistic strategy. We're just being the hands and feet of Jesus and showing them love. And eventually, many of them come around and ask us the question, why are you doing this? And then we have a chance to share our faith in Christ. And many of them are responding and becoming followers of Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. That's so encouraging. I got chills when you were sharing that. That is just so like God to meet people where they are and use a horrible situation like the coronavirus to actually bring people to salvation. That's amazing. And I think actually you were on the show on the Charisma News podcast a couple months ago talking about something similar, how Christians are, you know, taking advantage of the pandemic to meet people's physical and spiritual needs. And as a result, a lot of people coming to Christ. Although I think you were talking to Taylor Berglund, my co-host. So that's encouraging to hear that that's still going on, but are Christians experiencing any opposition while they're helping people?
Well, I had one woman tell me, she said, I'm a Christ follower. She said, but I have to worship him in secret. And then she immediately said, but I'm not ashamed of Jesus. She said, please let me explain. She said, if the rebels find out that I'm a believer, they will kill all of my family that are back in Syria. And so they have to live with that day-to-day fear. And so just imagine that they've been driven out of their own countries because of violence. They're living in terrible conditions, many of them in refugee camps and tents. There's no way to physically distance when you're living that close together. They can't work. They can't keep a job because of their refugee status. And now they're battling this pandemic. And so it's probably more difficult for them now than it's been in the past few years. And there's no way they can go back home. They would love to go back home, but most of them don't have anything to go back to. Their homes have been destroyed by ISIS and by rebels, and many of their family members have been beheaded and tortured and murdered. I met this one young lady that an ISIS bomb went off in her house in Syria, and she and her mother were in the kitchen, and an explosion occurred, and there was a pot of oil on the stove that exploded and burned 90% of her back, and she was depressed and suicidal and attempted to take her life on several occasions, and just paralyzed with fear. And we were able to come alongside and provide the surgery needed for her back to be repaired, and it was just like an overnight transformation. She was so appreciative and so grateful that she volunteered in the refugee camps to help us with these patients. And after doing this for several weeks, she became a follower of Jesus Christ because she saw the love of Christians in action. And now she's helping direct the clinic that sees 200 people a day. And so in the midst of all these terrible, horrible conditions, we're seeing God work like never before.
Amen. Wow. What an encouraging story. I love that. So uplifting. Now, regarding the coronavirus quarantines that are going on, I know that there are a ton of quarantines going on in the Middle East. I know I've been reading about quarantines in Iran. Are you finding that they're affecting listenership for Christian radio or TV?
Well, we have one partner. I can't tell you where he is for security reasons, but they have a radio broadcast, and it's also streamed online. And not only are the refugees and people in their homes more, but they're also searching for sources of hope right now, if you can imagine. And they tell us that listenership has shot up both over the air and online streaming, because people can do this in private without being fearful of being found out or persecuted because of it. And they said that the listeners have been reaching out to the radio staff through text messages and phone calls and through social media, it's almost to the point that the staff is overwhelmed with all the responses. They can't even keep up with them. And one convert told the story of how he received the Bible, and evidently other people had read that same Bible because there were notes in the margins from several different people. And after 5 days of reading this Bible nonstop, he became a believer. He shared it with the rest of his family, and four more of his family became Christ followers just as a result of him getting a Bible by listening to the radio broadcast. So right now, in the midst of all this pain and suffering, God's using Christian radio to make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And it sounds like it's not just affecting the people who are watching and listening themselves, but it sounds like you're saying it's affecting their whole families.
Correct. And, you know, this is how usually it works. One person in the family becomes a believer, and it's just been a matter of time where others see the change and see the hope and see the difference that it makes. Then they too become believers. Because of the witness of their family member.
Absolutely. Now, to wrap us up for today, I want to end this interview on a really practical note for those listening. So, Vernon, can you tell us, how can Christians be praying for their persecuted brothers and sisters in the Middle East?
Well, obviously, Jenny, the first thing we need to do is pray for their physical needs. The food, the medicine. We recently had one husband and wife bring their four children to the clinic and tried to give them to the person that operated the clinic because they didn't have any food to feed them, and they would rather give them away than to see them die. And fortunately, our partner was able to immediately give them food and aid. But there are many, many more in similar situations. We need to pray for them to continue sharing their faith. I personally believe that since Iran is the fastest growing Christian country in the world, that this is God's timing and this is God's will. And so we need to pray that they can continue to have opportunities to share their faith. They need Bibles. We have a very vast network getting Bibles into the country. It's illegal to print Bibles in Iran. It's illegal to preach. It's illegal to have house church services. But we have a network of volunteers who are literally risking their lives to get God's word to their fellow countrymen. And we need to pray for their safety and pray for those that are being exposed to this virus, and pray that the underground church can continue to grow, and pray that they'll continue to have access to God's word.
Well, those are some incredible prayer points, and I'm sure our listeners will remember them. Vernon, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I learned so much just by hearing what you had to share.
Well, thank you. And Jenny, it's important to realize for as little as $8, you can impact the life of one refugee. You could help them in the time of this virus. You can help them receive the good news of the gospel. We have a matching gift right now that every $8 is doubled, and that would help two refugees. And they can do so by going to our website at worldhelp.net.
Perfect. Well, listeners, again, that's worldhelp.net. Look at me stumbling. And I really hope, listeners, that this interview inspires you to be praying for your persecuted brothers and sisters across the world, those in the Middle East who are suffering from the coronavirus, and to keep praying that this revival that God is bringing about would keep growing. So as always, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.